It's a fantastic privilege to be in this building, to be part of this community. God brought Jenny and I into this community back in 1983. Before some of you were born. But there's been a community here that has been celebrating the love of God and worshipping God together for over 300 years. And we want to just take time to honor those who, up to 2013, were the custodians of this place. They worshipped here, they lived here, they honored God here, and we've got a few of them with us this morning, and we just want to say thank you for passing on this building to us, for us to use it for the worship and honor of God. Thank you. They've not only given us the building, and we had a valuation done in order to get the Charity Commission to sign over the documents, and the valuation was $1.2 million. And not only that, they dipped into their pockets and they actually gave us some money to help facilitate what we're doing. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. So we thought we'd also take this opportunity just to declare our commitment moving forward. Because God is calling us, as we've already heard, to move forward. Our commitment as a community of people is to partner with the Holy Spirit in growing His church. Who's the His? The living God, the one that we serve. And in transforming lives by loving God and loving people. Our job is to partner with what God is doing. And we're going to see this place filled with people whose lives are being transformed. Along with us, because not one of us is the perfect thing yet, especially me. We've got four little points there. We want to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. He is in charge. This is a place where God rules. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is so important, because otherwise we're trying to live a life that Jesus has called us to in our own strength. It doesn't work. We need the Holy Spirit in us, empowering us, guiding us, bringing revelation, giving us understanding. We've been reminded already that this place has been a place for worshiping God for over 300 years. And God said to us only last week, remember the well that has been dug here. There is a history here of honoring God which we need to draw on to facilitate what He has for us in the future. The tracks have been laid down, as it were, and we're moving along that track. We take over from those in the past and we move forward, and we are here to touch the people of this town and this nation and the world. So be ready. Get yourselves ready and expect to be sent out. Because that's what we are, isn't it? We're a community to be sent out to make disciples. So that's what we're about. So we'd like to dedicate this building to facilitate us to do those things that God has called us to do. So shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this fantastic space that we have received. And we dedicate its use together in the agenda that you have for us moving forward. We declare over this place that this will always be a place where the name of Jesus is honored, where he is acknowledged as the Lord of all and the Lord of our lives. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will come and you will fill us and, as it were, almost fill the atmosphere in this place so that whoever comes in will sense your presence. And help us to draw on that well of love and knowledge and experience that will encourage us. So we dedicate this space to do all of those things and to be a place where we are sent out to bring your light and your love into this community. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the lovely things also we're going to do this morning is to appoint Josh to be part of the eldership team here. We don't have a hierarchy. So I just want to say he's not any more special than any one of you. But God gives us a gift and a calling, each one of us individually, to fulfill those things that God has placed in us, and then he enables us to do them. And we recognize that God has gifted Josh in this role as an elder of the church. So perhaps you'd like to come up, Josh. You can bring that little girl up with you if you like. I'm going to ask the other elders if they would come up as well, please. Paul, writing to Titus, gave him some instructions. He said, go and appoint elders. He says, I left you in Crete so that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town. So straightening out what's unfinished. God hasn't finished yet. We need some straightening out, and you're part of that. An elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife. That's encouraging, isn't it? A man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Did you hear that, Gear? Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain, but rather he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. We've recognized those characteristics in you, Josh, already. And this morning, we want to welcome you as an elder of the church, and we're going to pray for you. I've got some oil. I've even got some fresh oil. I suppose it was really important that we have fresh oil. I've been carrying this probably for 10 years, so I thought it was time to have some fresh oil. So I've got to pass that to you. So, we anoint you to fulfill everything that God has for you in this special role. To join us, to lead this community into the path that God has for us. To be all that he has commanded you to be. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that we recognize in this young man. We thank you for his ability to expound your word and to touch our hearts. And Lord, we pray for more of that. Increase his wisdom, increase his understanding. May his whole family be a blessing to us all. Amen. Amen. Just help me for a minute.
If I'm going to give a half hour talk now, I need notes. As most of you know, Marie and Kevin are planning to move back to South Africa fairly soon. Don't know if you've got an exact date yet. But we believe that God is guiding them to work for him in South Africa as their main focus, rather than their main focus being here. So they're not actually leaving today, as far as I know. So we'll still have time to say goodbye to them in various ways. But one of the things that Marie said a while ago when they knew they were going was that there would be lots to do with selling a house here, finding a new place in South Africa, all the technical and legal and financial stuff, packing crates of stuff to be shipped over, etc., etc. So she said that she would like to step down from her role as an elder in this church after the church weekend last week. So that's what she's doing today. So we wanted to take the opportunity just to say just to say thank you so much, Marie, for all you've done for us. I just thought, you know, those of our congregation, anybody else who's been involved, just give a wave to Marie if you have been blessed and supported by what she's done. And we wanted to say thank you, Marie. And thank you for being with us on our journey, being part of us, and all that you've committed to with the youth work, with house groups, with... I made a list here, but I haven't got my glasses, so I'll have to cut it down by 25 minutes. But just wanted to say thank you so much, Marie. And we want to bless you as you go to start a new chapter. Which isn't the end of the book, but also we're very pleased that you're not actually going to be there permanently, but you are going to come back and see us from time to time. But thank you for everything you've done. Should we just stretch out our hands and bless Marie? Lord, we pray that you will bless Marie and Kevin in this new venture. All the practical stuff they need to do, but most of all, being close to you and hearing that whisper, hearing your voice, every point, whether to go left or right. Pray that you'll give them wisdom and discernment for that, Lord. And we thank you so much for how they've changed us while they've been here. I'm so grateful, Lord. Amen.
One of the things that Martin just said was that Marie has changed us. That is the job of everybody in the church. To change us, to be transformed, to rub against each other so that we all better reflect the glory of Jesus. And she's been particularly good at it. I'm going to invite Steve to come and speak to us now. He's been seeking God about what to say. And we trust that his hearing is in good order.
Say what a delight it is to be here with you. I'm trying to remember the last time it was, but it's got to be at least 2 years, if not 3 years. And I look back with such fond memories of the time that I hung out with you a bit, and just the kind of looking around the room and to see friends. But also new people that we've kind of not met before, so that which is just great, and also to look at this place, and just to delight. I mean, Anne and I walked in here this morning, and there was a lot of an intake of breath. It's fact, it's just great, you know. What a transformation in terms of a space that is flexible, that can be used so well. It's contemporary in its feel. I'm just going to commend you for it. This man has done extraordinary work, hasn't he? Well done, Peter. It was actually during my time that it seemed to be possible that this building would become part of the churches and would be owned by the church. And I remember discussing it through with Peter, and Peter thought it was probably about a nine months to a year's project, get all the legals done and then the building done. It did take a little longer than that, Peter, didn't it? But here we are today, and this is a place, and we've just dedicated it to the purposes of God. And that's the purpose, isn't it? The purposes of God to be expressed into Chesham and beyond Chesham, to different parts of the communities around it, and indeed different parts of the world. I got to say, I am really encouraged by some of the prayers that were prayed earlier, the prophetic insights that were shared, because it really does resonate with what I'd like to talk about this morning. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, so you've got your phones or you've got your Bibles. You want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And the New Testament writers use numerous images, metaphors, to help us to understand this thing called church. And one of the metaphors, interestingly this morning, is that I'm going to explore, is the metaphor of building. And God as a builder. Not Bob the builder, God as the builder. And we shouldn't be surprised that the writers in the New Testament would want to use that metaphor, because of course we know that Jesus spoke about being a builder. I will build my church, he said. In fact, he said it having heard Peter make this great declaration of who he was. And so Peter is writing, using this metaphor. He's heard from Jesus, but now he's bringing it into the context of this letter that he's writing to the early church. He's writing around AD 60, so just less than 30 years since Jesus has been crucified and left the earth. He's writing to a group of Christians that are in what we know today as Turkey. He's writing to them particularly because they are facing real hard times. They're facing persecution. And he's wanting to encourage them. And in fact, the first chapter, he spends quite a bit of time talking about who they are, their inheritance in Christ. because he realizes that in the midst of the difficulties, the persecutions that they are facing, they need to hold on to their identity in who they are in him. I want to suggest actually that's really important for us, 21st century Christians. Because if we don't keep reminding of ourselves as how God sees us, we will be shaped by the culture of the world that surrounds us. We are bombarded, aren't we, with messages from our culture that are endeavouring to shape our identity. And basically, so much of it tells us how rubbish we are. And how we need to change to conform to the culture that's around us. And so we need to immerse ourselves in what the Scripture says, what God says about who we are. Does that make sense? Okay, so maybe read chapter 1 and actually read perhaps some other passages. Paul goes into it a great deal because he's speaking into the same context. And then at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, he exhorts them in the light of who they are, live well. Live good lives. Be true to who you are. And then he goes on, and this is the passage that we're going to read, which is in 2 Peter. And we're going to start from verse 4, just going to read a couple of verses. And then later on, we're going to read a bit more further on down. And let me just declare a vested interest. I speak this morning as someone who loves the church. I just love this thing called the body of Christ. Now, I know we don't always get it right. I know we get it wrong. I know sometimes people get hurt, and we've read in the news this week, haven't we, about some of the pain that the Anglican Church is going through at the moment in the light of things having got wrong. There might well be people in this church that have experienced some of the pain of being part of a church. And I want to say I'm really sorry for that. Forgive us that at times we haven't done it right. But at the same time, I want to hold on to my commitment and my love for the church because it's Jesus' church. I believe Jesus, even in our weakness, in our vulnerabilities, in our mistakes, continues to love his church. I want you to hear this morning, King's Church, Jesus loves you. He loves you. And Peter is going to explore what it means for us to be church. So listen to what he says, starting at verse 4. As you come to him, who's the him? Okay, so as we come to Jesus, as we come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, you also, King's Church, you also, here this morning in this place, King's Church, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, or it can be translated spiritual temple, to be holy priests offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're going to talk about the kind of house that God builds. What are the characteristics of the house that God is wanting to build? He is building amongst us. And the first characteristic is the house is made of living stones. He's saying to them, and perhaps most shockingly to some of those who are part of the churches he's writing to, some of them were Jews, he's writing to them and he's saying this, forget the temple in Jerusalem. Forget it. This building is made of people. It's people, living stones, people filled with God, filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, Peter says this, Jesus, he talks about Jesus as the living stone, precious to him. But then verse 5, he goes on and says, you also, like living stones built into a house, built into a temple. And then he changes the imagery. It's living stones built into a house, becoming holy priests. So you guys this morning, you are living stones, but you're also priests. He's saying, forget the Old Testament priesthood. This is a different kind of priesthood. This is people of all backgrounds. This is most shocking. If you're a Jew, this is shocking what Peter is saying. Because it's Jews and Gentiles who are priests. It's rich and poor that are priests. It's slaves and free that are priests. Ooh, perhaps most shocking of all, it's men and it's women who are priests in this spiritual house that God is building. And these priests, us, are offering spiritual sacrifices. What are our spiritual sacrifices? Well, I want to suggest it's some of the stuff we've been doing this morning. It's our worship. It's our prayers. But it's our service. Service to each other. Service outside the community of faith. It's our good works. It's our care for one another and care for others. These are our spiritual sacrifices that we, as priests, in this spiritual temple are sacrificing to God. So hey, just have a quick look around. When I say that means we look around, okay? Just have a look around at each other. I know we're British, we find this difficult, but looking around, you are looking at living stones. Looking around, you are looking at priests, holy priests, who offer spiritual sacrifices. You are looking at people who are precious. Whoa, precious to him. First characteristic, living stone. Second characteristic, in this building that God is building, we are placed together. Placed together. Verse 5, are being built. This isn't random. This isn't God just kind of taking a whole load of stones and throwing them out. No, there's a building process that is taking place. In fact, I love the fact that the writer to the Hebrews talks about God as an architect. He designs the building, but then in Peter, he's talking about God who builds the building, gets his hands dirty, places the living stones alongside each other. I hope you're getting encouraged by this, Peter, that God's a builder. Okay, for those who don't know, Peter runs a building company. So God is a builder. It's not random. He places the stones together. Let's just read on in that passage. Just verse 6 makes it clear. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priest or priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then Isaiah, for in Scripture it says, see, I am laying a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. He places us together. He's the architect, but he's also the builder of the house. He positions us as the master builder. He gets to decide who's in place. We might not always agree with who he puts us alongside. We might look around at other places and other people and think, oh, I would like to be alongside them. Sometimes or is this just me? You think, do I really have to be alongside that person? But he gets to decide. He is the master builder. You know, I in preparing this talk, I was reflecting on two major relocations that we made in our married life, during our married life. The one was from the north of England to just south of London. The second was from the south of London right into London. On each occasion, we made the move, not for the sake of a bigger house or a career move, or you need to be there for whatever kind of reason, or we liked the geography. No, we didn't. We made the move because we sensed God was calling us to be with this group of people. He was placing us in there. He was making a decision regarding our lives. Now, let me just make clear. I know that there are occasions when we have to move. And there are all kinds of reasons. And sometimes it is around career. And sometimes it is around family's needs. And there's all kinds of reasons. But actually, I just want to just suggest that there's something about, if God is the builder, we've got to be really clear that he gets to decide where we are placed, who we are placed alongside. So again, let's just take a moment, have a look around. When I say have a look around, that means have a look around. Could it be that God has chosen to place you among these people? Is this God's building process that involves you placing you with this group of people? Okay, so living stones who become holy priests, placed by the builder, second one. Number three, this building that God's building has Jesus in the rightful place. Jesus, the living stone, but also the cornerstone. We just read it, didn't we, in that passage? And I love the prayer that was prayed. In fact, the song we sang as well, referring to Jesus as the cornerstone. Jesus in his rightful place. King's Church, Chesham. Is Jesus in his rightful place among you? Is he? Because he needs to be, if it's going to be the house that God builds. Jesus in the place of the one who's in charge. Jesus as the one who's the boss. You know, the sad record of history is we haven't always done all that well in this. The sad record of church history is sometimes Jesus has been relegated behind the institution, relegated behind titles like priest or vicar or minister or church leader. Or elder. At times, he's been relegated. God save us from relegating him from his rightful place. For this to be the house that the God builds, the spiritual temple, he's got to be the cornerstone. Now, I had a misconception of what cornerstone means in the ancient world. I thought, well, in this, you correct me if I'm wrong on this, Peter, but I've always thought the cornerstone in the building was what you have near the foundations, that base bit that often in the old buildings they write on. Okay, that's what I thought it was. But apparently in the ancient world, the cornerstone was in the top corner, in an incredibly prominent position. It was a statement, this house is dedicated to, this house belongs to. And the temples would have gods in that place. Peter is saying Jesus is the cornerstone. He's in the place of honor. It all depends on Jesus. And let me just make this statement this morning. Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, his position today beside the Father on the throne of heaven. If that isn't central to why we are together as church, let's forget it. Let's give up. Let's have a lie-in on a Sunday morning. Let's not give our money into it. You know, there's other things we could be doing. But if Jesus is who the Bible says he is, he's the cornerstone, and he needs to be the cornerstone of everything that we do individually and also corporately. And I say individually because that's got to be true, hasn't it? Yeah, it's got to be true corporately, but it's got to be true for us. Has Jesus got his rightful place in my life today, this morning? Or has he got a secondary place? And it's a challenge for us to live like that, day in and day out. Jesus, I want you to be in charge. I want you to be the boss. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Okay, so living stones, holy priests, placed by the builder, and Jesus as the cornerstone. And finally, final one, this building that God builds, he also dwells in. He dwells in this place. You see, the temple in Jerusalem, originally built by Solomon, you remember all those passages about the building of the great temple in Jerusalem, destroyed by the Babylonians, rebuilt after the return from exile, and then renovated, probably just over 100 years prior to Peter writing this letter by Herod. It was an extraordinary building. It was one of the wonders of the world. I don't know if we've... Have we got that? Have we got a little slide of that? I can't remember where I put it in this... Oh, there we go. Look at that. This is just a representation. This was an extraordinary building that was built. And the people who were in this group, and particularly the Jews, some of the Jews who were part of this small church, knew about this building. In the ancient world, in the Jewish mindset, this was the building where God dwelt. And within the building was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, earth and heaven came together. That was their mindset. It took us back to the Genesis creation narratives. As they tell the story of God and man walking together in the garden. That creation thing, which was originally intention. And the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, had the temple as that place where heaven and earth came together. And what's Peter saying here? Forget the temple in Jerusalem. Forget it. God's left the building. He's left the building. It's shocking. You see, do you remember that moment as Jesus is dying on the cross? Do you remember what happened? God does an extraordinary prophetic act. Takes hold of the curtain that separates the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, and he tears the curtain in half. It's God saying, I am leaving the building. He's left the building. And Peter is saying, he's entered a new building. It's not a building made with stones. It's not a physical place. It's a building made of people, of living stones. God dwelling with his people. Hey, King's Church, God dwells amongst us. His dwelling place is in this spiritual temple, this building that he's built. His dwelling place is among us today. Heaven and earth meeting right here, right now, in this place. But also, heaven and earth meeting as he dwells within us. Because Scripture talks about us as living temples. as we go to our places of work, as we go to our places of education, as we walk down our streets, as we engage with our families, with our friends, we are temples carrying the presence of God wherever we go. So there's something wonderful in our togetherness as the temple of God, but there's also something wonderful in us, day in and out, day out, carrying the presence of God wherever we might be. Isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that challenging? Carriers of God wherever we might be. So, living stones, who are also holy priests, placed by God into the building. Jesus in his rightful place. And in the light of all that, perhaps most wonderful of all, he dwells in us. And so what I would love to do by way of conclusion, and I'm going to then hand it back to Peter, is I'd love to read this passage again and go on further. Forgive me if you're a visitor amongst us, because we're going to do something that you might go, oh no. But I'd like to invite you to stand together and to kind of embrace arms, hook arms with each other as I read this scripture. Forgive me for doing this. I know this is, for some of us it's very awkward, but, and if you're a visitor, you're thinking, how on earth did I get here this morning and they're doing this to us? But I want to do it and read this scripture to us and allow the power of scripture to impact us as we look around at each other and recognize that. So would you stand with me? Would you hook arms with each other? I'm going to read this scripture and then I'm going to pray. Okay, so, and as I read this, again, this is a moment to look at each other, okay? Oh dear, so sorry. So un-English. As you come to Jesus, the living stone rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, King's Church, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You are a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then I'm down to verse 9. You are, King's Church, a chosen people. You are, King's Church, a royal priesthood. You are, King's Church, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You, King's Church, were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we thank you that all this is true, that you live amongst us. you dwell here. We want us to be a place where you feel so welcomed in your house. We want this to be a place where heaven and earth meets. Both corporately, Lord, but also individually, we ask you that we might be the carriers of your presence. Your dwelling with your people, wherever we might go. And so, by your Spirit, we dedicate ourselves, we dedicate us as a community of faith, we dedicate ourselves to your purposes. Thanking God that you are the builder. Thank you that you've built us. You are building us. You continue to build us. And may we more and more express the life of God amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.